You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Anna Sheridan, missing for nearly 6 months now.
That's not possible.
Someone with a more vivid imagination might decide she'd pierced the veil. There's no place for ghost stories in this investigation or any other.
I need you to find me.
The Sheridan Tapes, a serialized horror mystery podcast. Stream the complete series today on Realm and on all podcasting platforms.
Welcome back to Angel on Top, a podcast where we watch and discuss every episode of Angel, one by one, spoiler-free and in tandem with no one. Everything has changed. We're all alone. I'm your co-host, LaToya Ferguson, a.k.a. the comatose chase of the Bufferingverse, a.k.a. one half of the Gun Squad. Counselor, when you get the chance, I would love to look over your briefs with you. a.k.a. the Gilbert to Morgan Sullivan, a.k.a. Daddy, even if no one can remember that, a.k.a. Captain Forehead, a.k.a. even more annoying new nicknames to come.
And I'm your co-host, Morgan Ludich, a.k.a. the Winifred Burkle of the Bufferingverse, a.k.a. the other half of the Gun Squad. Why don't you bang me with that gavel, am I right? A.k.a. the Sullivan to LaToya's Gilbert, a.k.a. still trying to forget Daddy, a.k.a. William Bloody, a.k.a. even more annoying new nicknames to come.
And this week, we're watching Angel Season 5, Episode 9, Harm's Way. Harm's Way was written by Sarah Fain and Elizabeth Kraft and directed by Vern Gillum. It aired on the WB on January 14th, 2004.
And this is the one where Harmony accidentally wakes up with a guy in her bed. Too bad he's dead!
Actually, I lied in the intro, Scoobies. We are doing this in tandem with someone.
Mm-hmm.
A special former nemesis.
Mm-hmm. Hell yeah!
Kristen Russo!
Four corners! All corners, all day long.
Yeah, baby.
Harmony's and biggest fan and the world's greatest receptionist here at your service.
Yeah, baby. Oh, it's lovely to have you, Kristen. How'd you like this one?
Okay, it's great to be here, first of all.
Thank you.
I enjoyed this episode because I do love Harmony deeply. We talked a little bit off mic. I didn't think it was, like, the most incredibly structured episode of all time. Mm. But I had fun with it, both from the perspective of I love Harmony and also from the perspective of I was angry at literally every single person except for Harmony the whole time.
Yeah.
Which felt like both anger on behalf of Harmony and on behalf of myself, you know? So it was a therapeutic episode for me.
Yeah. Fascinating. Well, we love therapy.
Yeah. Love to get all my feelings out.
You were angry at everyone, Kristen.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. I was not mad at the camel. I was not angry at the camel.
Fair.
Oh my God, I just had like a full body panic because as I was talking about it, I realized I didn't pick a fuckwatch yet. And mm-hmm. I'm going to have to do that as we talk.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
I'll figure it out.
I believe in you.
Thank you.
LaToya, how did this one treat you upon rewatch?
I mean, I enjoyed it. Fuck both of you. This is a fun episode. Everything but the pan flute. I actually, I got emotional during two moments in the episode, and not because of anything the episode did, but because of my own sad life. So that'll be fun to recount.
Great!
That'll be for everyone!
That'll be great to recount. That was not the intention, but yeah, I had a swinging good time. I'm so, again, I say fuck you, both of you.
No, don't say fuck me. I mean, I don't
mostly
know
fuck
feel.
Morgan, because I already...
Yeah, I figured, yeah. I also, like I'm, like, saying this is a B minus, in my opinion. I'm not saying it's bad.
That's not what she was saying before the recording.
I'm going to come across as a little bit of a hater, because I'm sure I'm going to be the most negative on this one. But
I had a delightfully good time. I really did.
I love Harmony, and I want to give her a little forehead kiss. Let's just say that. And I can get into some of my notes for the app as we go through it.
Harmony, wow. You deserve hatred. Better on hatred. Every level.
Fully
every
agree.
Level.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Morgan, we just have to, like, we have to come together at least in this episode because, again, this episode confirms there's no way Spike's the champion. Like, yeah. Come on. We got to come together against Kristen.
Well, of course. Yeah.
No, that's fair.
We can always do that.
I called it upon myself. I really did. I felt like, I mean, I think that's, like, that was the... Because I had a lot of fun with the episode, but I felt like some of the character choices were just a little bit extreme. Mm-hmm. You know, like Spike is an asshole to Harmony as a general rule, but he hasn't been like this much of an asshole to Harmony in a minute.
He was worse to her when he became corporeal. What are you talking about?
Well, you mean when they fucked and then
yeah,
she bit him?
And like he didn't even really like dress it up at all. He was just like, "Come on, you're gonna fuck me in a room," and then she's like, "No," and he's like, "I'll give you one compliment subtext because you're desperate."
And
everything is pretty much from Harmony's perspective in this episode too.
Yeah,
you have to keep that in mind.
Yeah,
but and Angel was such like I mean I know that Angel can be grumpy sometimes, but he was such a fucking dick. I mean, he was worse than my boss was to me, and my boss ran a hedge fund, so that's like saying something, you know.
That's pretty huge. Yeah, I was bummed because also like the point is. You know, I think the crux of the episode is the whole like, well, she should just go to Angel and tell him what's going on and then he'll fix it. And why would she? Why would she trust this person in any way, shape or form? He affords her zero respect.
Yeah.
So, you know, I would not assume that person would help me.
No. And like, I'm sure like we'll talk about this more later, but like the core of all Harmony things was spoken aloud in this episode by Harmony, where she's like, I don't fucking have a soul and mm-hmm. I'm not killing anybody. Like, name me another vampire. Name me one. All mm-hmm. these other fuckers need souls. Otherwise, they're killing left and right. Not Harmony. She deserves better.
She's being a sweetie. More. I'm very proud of her.
And here, I love Harmony, but also Angel didn't hire Harmony. The only reason Harmony has a job is because she was friends with Cordelia. Like, he would have fired her or killed her before now because she tried. Bless her. She's not good at her job.
I don't know. She did some good shit today.
Hey, she's pissing off people at the microwave so her boss can get his hot blood right away.
I'll get into one of the things that like was very personal to me. So like, I love Harmony, but we're basically seeing a more skilled black worker who got passed over for a pretty shitty white one because of nepotism. That's what we're seeing here.
That is a fair complaint to have. Yeah.
That scene when it started, I was like, oh, cool. So here's this black woman who's like, I literally have been working here like 400,000 times more than you, and I didn't get the job. And I was like, wow. Okay, so here's some fucking racist shit. And then they fought with chopsticks and there was also a pan flute. And I was like, how many levels are we gonna hit here? Like, how many
there's
in one scene?
There's always one more.
Always. Yeah, you can always find more. But
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Never fails to disappoint. No, that's very valid. But I also think just like like, she was a known quantity to Angel. And like, that was what I thought was, like, the point of her being hired. But it's not like it helps at all. Like, nothing helps. He's mad all the time.
Yeah, he's real mad.
And as I've said before, I like Angel. It's why I watch Angel the TV show. And this season is kind of testing my patience on that, because I'm like, I don't know, like, why am I rooting for this guy? Which I know is kind of the point. Like, this is about him losing his way a little bit, or, like, mm-hmm. you know, whatever. But I'm starting to just become a little less fun to watch.
It's very funny, because I would have made Angel my fuck watch for this episode had I not already. I was like, he was looking good in this episode.
Being so distant and emotionally withholding.
Yeah. Oh yeah, absolutely.
that's
but can you do you get to is Angel inside of the Wolfram and Hart commercial a different fuck watch?
Oh, guy. that is a good one, and we'll talk about that. That's very funny. That's very funny to me.
Speaking of that, that's a great segue. Why don't we dive right into our opening, which is a commercial for Wolfram and Hart.
I always love a cheesy corporate commercial. It's a good trope.
Yes, it's a good trope. It's very, like, old-timey and, like, vintage-y.
Even though it's, like, it was clearly made recently.
Even though it was clearly made recently, which I was a bit confused about. Like, I did not, they, you know, rattle off, you know, that this is a law firm that was founded on the, you know, deconsecrated ground from the warlock Pavane.
They bring up Pavane, which is that's always good.
Gonna buy you a drink.
Yeah, and they talk about all the major corporations, and I will say
Weyland-Yutani.
Well, I was gonna say part of it is that because I look up previous, like, recaps and reviews and stuff, mm-hmm. and it's funny to watch, to see, like, reviewers or nerds who, like, have, like, they know certain things, but they have, like, certain blind spots. Mm-hmm. So, like, one of them who did a review was like, obviously they recognized, like, the bad guys from Buckaroo Banzai or from Alien, but they couldn't place News Corp, and I was like, that's the funniest one.
Which one's News Corp?
Fox News.
Oh. Okay, that's a pretty good one. Yeah, I found the Weyland-Yutani, like, I found the joke a little bit, like, cringe, but I'll allow it.
Again, the News Corp one is, like, it's...
That's a good one.
Yeah.
The whole time I kept waiting for, like, I just assumed that the commercial was gonna, like, cut to them watching the commercial, like, reviewing the commercial, and I thought mm-hmm. it was so fucking funny and bizarre that it was just like, and now to the show.
Yeah, I was wondering if this, I think I would have enjoyed this a little more if it felt a bit more tied into what was going on. Mm. I know that essentially it's saying the mission statement that Angel is, like, putting forward, which is like, we're a peaceful company. If you don't kill us, we won't kill you.
It works better as the first thing you see returning to the show after months is the thing.
That's right. Really fair. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
That is fair. I forget about context like that all the time.
I love seeing Angel woodenly act for this commercial. Him shaking hands with the unnamed employee and patting him on the shoulder. Like, I love it.
It's so funny because it's clear that they had Angel film something. And as he's staring directly in camera, and they're like, oh no, we can't allow his words to be on camera at all. So they just talk over it. But then they do allow him to talk a little bit. And it's even funnier contrasting, like, the established footage we've had in episodes with, like, the new, like, you know, Viridian Dynamics style stock footage they create, which is like, it's so bright compared to our show, which is not.
Yeah, it's very goofy. It's very silly. And it's a fun swing. We cut from it to Harmony's place. Her alarm's going off at 7 a.m. She's getting up. She's in her silk jammies. Several details about her morning routine. She has "Be Your Best" written on her mirror, which doesn't work on her.
Bless her sweet
Her soul. Mirror or being her best?
Yeah. Who knows? I'm not saying. She brushes her normal teeth, and then she vamps out and brushes her vamp teeth.
This might be my favorite piece of vampire lore in the entire Whedonverse, honest to God.
Yeah.
The fact that vampires who brush their teeth have to vamp out to get those ones. Unbelievable. Chef's kiss.
Never been done before. It's awesome,
actually. I gotta say, those looked a lot grodier as teeth. I was like, brush those a little more, Harmony.
Yeah, like, do your vampire fangs come from the olden times? Like, when you're turned, do the teeth, like, are they from the origin?
Well, yeah,
of
you never see any sparkling white vamp teeth. So.
No. God, maybe someone... Dracula, a sexy Dracula. I could imagine him with gleaming white, pearly
oh,
whites.
Yeah, I bet. Yeah. So, Harmony, she also lifts a entire dresser with one hand to get her shoe that's stuck under it. And I love absurd feats of strength from Tiny Women.
I actually appreciate this episode allowing Harmony to be, she's like, she's a strong vampire, reminding us she can actually fight. She has like all the same martial arts skills that every vampire gets on orientation.
Yes.
She's strong. She can knock people out in one punch. Yeah. As much fun as, you know, seeing slap fights with Xander is, you know, on Buffy. It is cool to actually get her to be, quote unquote, competent as Harmony Kendall can be.
Yeah. And her morning routine ends with her saying hi to her neighbor, Miss Jacoby, who does not say hi back. She's
that
a little bitch.
She should have been the victim.
I
really thought more was going to happen with Miss Jacoby and the dog. They were
spoiler alert. She's the one that dies.
Yeah, truly. So then in the lobby, Harmony is coming in. She's got Angel's dry cleaning and she's got what I call her blood Stanley cup. It's pink. She goes into the employee lounge and she bumps into a gal who later we find out is Tamika, the woman passed over for the promotion.
Yeah.
And she spills
I wrote
coffee on her.
Beautiful black lady. The actress is Danielle Nicolette, who she plays Cecile on The Flash, Joe's wife. Mm. She was in a bunch of Key and Peele sketches. At this point, she would have been known for Third Rock from the Sun. She was one of Dick's students.
Mm. Oh, cool. Harmony overhears two assistants like bitching about all the shit they have to do for their bosses, and Harmony tries to be like, well, that it ain't that the half of it, like me too, and they just go silent.
I hate like that redhead chick. I hate her
the worst.
Horrible to watch, really.
But here's the thing also, like, okay, so Harmony's gossiping coworkers don't care for her, which fuck them, but also like I love her. Again, how many times am I gonna have to say I love Harmony, like, to preface, but like I'm kind of fine with her getting some just desserts for her behavior in high school. Like Cordelia reckon with that past behavior, but Harmony never has, actually. And
that
she might be
fair.
Too simple to, it's not even the sole thing, she's too simple to ever really do it. It's like she's getting a fraction of what she like doled out to people in high school, honestly.
This is a bit of comeuppance, you're right.
But God, these girls are so mean.
Oh yeah, they really fucking suck. Oh, and I do kind of like that Tamika's not like fucking with them either, like they suck.
Totally like Tamika's running her own show, like she's not these petty
she's like Jesus Christ, I hate all of you. And she's right to do it.
She's right. Harmony has two big blood thermoses in the fridge, one for Angel that's like, this is for the boss, don't touch, and then one that's covered in sparkly unicorn stickers that's hers.
She very easy to fuck with,
love it. She takes some dude's stuff out of the microwave so she can heat up Angel's blood. And that dude's like, hey.
So that's Danny. And you know what, Danny? Stop leaving the fucking bowl in the microwave.
That's what I'm saying. The rule is if you leave your shit in the fucking microwave and you leave the microwave, then it's game. It's the same with the fucking shared laundromat. You leave your shit in the dryer and you're not there, I'm taking your shit out of the dryer. That's how the rules work.
I fully agree.
Yeah, it's like, dude, you can't. It would be one thing if it was still going in the microwave. It's not.
Yeah.
That's bad work microwave etiquette. And that's on you, Danny.
I truly thought Harmony was gonna say that. Like when she turned around, I thought she was gonna be like, you left it here and that's the fucking rule.
Stand up for yourself, Harmony. Then out in the lobby, she is saying, you know, she took care of the catering for this big feuding demon clan confab that's coming up.
Angel's still beat up from the Destiny fight.
Mm-hmm. And he is not listening to Harmony because he's doing, like, he's listening to a tape to teach him demon languages. Rude. Gunn grabs Angel and they need to have a meeting, and naturally they shut the door in Harmony's face. This made me so upset.
This made me like medium upset. Like I was upset with Angel, but I also was like, but this is this is typical. Like, a boss who's just, like, not aware. Yeah. Like, I have a little space for that.
I hate to be anti-Harmony, because, again, I love Harmony, again. But imagine working with or having to spend a whole day with Harmony and everything she says. It would be the most insipid thing that's ever you've ever heard. And eventually, even the nicest person, like, even Lorne, like, you can't do this nonstop.
Fred had a great time.
Yes, yeah. After work.
That's true.
I don't know. I guess I'm confused because it does seem like she really put in like an earnest effort on all of this stuff. And like, I bet the camel would have been appreciated.
I know so Angel wasn't listening, but she probably should have, you know,
explained it.
Been more forceful in like explaining things to him. That's the thing. Part of it is like, she does not learn this lesson. She kind of needs to like take initiative in that way and like getting her boss's attention, make him listen to her.
Yeah, she just, like, she's new to this stuff. She doesn't know to do these things. And so she, you know, keeps facing quite a bit of adversity. She gets her blood tested by Rudy, who's coming around to make sure she's off the human stuff. She's good. Then this guy, Eli, who's some kind of demon, shows up to meet with Angel. He's like, I'm finally...
Bye. Handsome white man actor Brendan Hines. You've seen him in things. I'm like, oh, they're covering up that face. They're covering up that.
Yeah, he has this weird like scarring around his eyes. He looks a lot like Mads Mikkelsen in Doctor Strange. Mm-hmm. Like that's kind of the face vibe that's going on.
He had an arc on Sarah Connor Chronicles. He was on The Tick. He played a Superior, like the Superman proxy on The Tick. Yeah.
Oh, cute. So he sees Harmony and he's like, hey, you, I die forever.
But also she's getting what she used to do back in the day.
Absolutely. Yeah. But she honestly doesn't seem to notice this. She just seems happy someone's talking to her.
Yeah.
So I'm like, yeah, girl, take the win.
At least he kind of, you know, polishes it. It's not just a huge like asshole to her.
Yeah, he speaks to her.
I mean, maybe he thinks she's a virgin. You know what I mean?
That's crazy. Dismember
her. Maybe he's put more interest in her, actually. Yeah. But I was like, dude, it's like, it's just, and everyone, it's better for you to like suck up to the boss's assistant.
Yes, seriously.
Yeah, that's
like,
the truth.
Do you ever want your boss to be able to meet with Angel? Ever? Come on.
That's the truth. And literally, I was the assistant to the head of the company that I worked at. And I will say that is the God's honest truth, is that people will be so fucking nice to you because they know that that's how they're going to get, or they think that that's how they're going to get their shit through to the big guy.
Yep. And, you know, sometimes it works like that and sometimes it does not. So Harmony finds Angel's big cup of blood on her desk and she's like, oh, he forgot it. And she runs into his office to give it back to him just in time to see Angel behead Eli with a sword and then ask her to clean it up.
Fucking intense. It's like the Sopranos up in here. You know what I mean?
Truly.
He got whacked.
Did.
Gabagool.
G-H-O-U-L.
Yeah. See, there we go.
I like LaToya it. Left. LaToya got up and walked out of the room.
LaToya, come back. Come back, please. Then in the Wolferman Hart lobby, we learned that Eli was dismembering virgins, and not even for religious reasons. Because at first, like, Harmony tries to make a couple excuses for him. She's like, you know, you can't judge people about their religion. They're like, it wasn't for anything. It was for fun. And she's like, oh, yeah, but why couldn't we give him a warning? And Angel reminds her they have a zero tolerance policy for murder. Write that down in your Shanshu prophecies.
I'm not sure how I feel about this zero tolerance policy.
I mean, it doesn't count for our friends, is the thing. It isn't the double standard.
Yeah.
How much does this count?
That's what's rattling in her little head all episode. And also, the funniest thing is, like, so Eli's body's taken out in a bag, right? And then someone separately takes his head.
Yes.
Like, under their arm. Like, I thought they were going to go, like, do a bowling. Little something with it. Yeah, bowling.
Shoot it through a basketball
magic
hoop.
Ritual. Yeah.
So then Spike shows up. They haven't seen him in days because he's been off drinking somewhere. Wes
also
is
beat
back.
To shit.
Yeah, he is beat to shit. Spike is here to say goodbye. And Wes is like, is it wise for you to leave while the whole Shanshu thing is still up in the air? And Spike doesn't care. Angel can have it.
Yeah, he says, you're welcome to that heroic destiny, whether you deserve it or not. Because again, Spike is all about what's deserved. Mm-hmm. Big air quotes.
Yes.
Yes, I know. Everyone hates me, okay?
No, I wasn't even specifically pointing it at you. I'm just making clear. I'm just letting any Scoobies know if they want to step to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I'm just alienating myself.
Angel positive podcast.
You come to Angel on Top, you better see Angel on Top.
Yeah. So we come here to do. Lauren says goodbye. Spike's gonna get to take a car because it's gonna get him out the door faster. And Spike and Fred have a little, like, you know, last moment together.
I appreciate it.
I did too. It was like, okay, finally we are kind of like sealing off this arc, because he, you know, says a bunch of like half sentences about like, you believed and well, you tried, I won't forget. Like, and Fred yeah. just says, you're welcome. It's nice.
Honestly, good to be on Spike's good side. Like, you know, if Armageddon 2 comes my way, I'm not going to be mad if Spike is going to take one for the team. Protect
yeah,
me.
Yeah, hell yeah. Block my body with his thick, thick skull, please. So Harmony is like, what about me? Just because I nearly ripped your throat out mid-coitus, I don't get a goodbye? And Spike tells her, which to me, this was the meanest thing anyone did to her in the episode, was keep it simple. It suits you. I'm like, and she starts crying.
He has a soul, guys.
He's a piece of shit. And then he really is.
A person with a soul who did this.
Yeah,
unreal.
It's
not nice. Just
Mosin,
be like,
my champion
idiot.
Is a piece of shit, okay?
Yeah, wow, you're gonna call him your champion.
Look, I mean,
you could call like Cordelia your champion.
Yeah, no, Cordelia is my champion. I realize this is not the point, but I realize that having just come off of Buffy the Vampire Slayer, where like the whole point was that there wasn't just one Slayer, one, two.
Yeah.
I think like that's more what I was reaching around for last episode. You know, just like
yeah, like the
one,
the binary one shit. Yeah, yeah. Again.
Don't start. You said binary. We could lose her at any moment.
Oh no, I was just refilling. But in the case, like, it's not even a question of like one or more champions. We say there's a bunch of champions on the show all the time. It's specifically the vampire with the soul in the specific context, as who we're saying the champion is, because our whole team is full of champions.
Fair.
Or it used to be.
Well, no, I actually think this is funny too, because like this episode actually is like Team Angel mess around and everything. Mm-hmm. Again, it is from like Harmony's eyes, but like the team is like they're
it's nice
coexisting
to see them together. Yeah. It turns out this big demon kerfuffle that the gang is going to be ironing out this week started over like someone using the wrong fork, because both these clans are very finicky about manners, and a neutral party that both clans trust has asked Wolfram and Hart for their help brokering the peace.
Yeah. And here's the thing, and it's in the scene where Harmony, you know, when she brings up the poodle thing, right? Mm-hmm. This is where she should have explained the camel thing before she shouldn't have brought up like a little anecdote, because a poodle's not going to be involved in this.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
The camel, though,
also,
that is your plan.
Approving these expenses, you know what I mean? That's a big purchase.
Angel was telling her to work with the caterer and everything. So like he's already given her the go ahead.
Yeah. So Gunn, you know, states that like, it would show the whole demon world our power if we could make this peace. Like, it'd be a really big deal and a big win for us. Lauren's lackey comes in with the seating chart. Hey, look, it's microwave guy.
Danny. You don't call him his assistant, just his lackey.
He had lackey vibes. He did not have...
It's simp vibes, sycophant vibes.
He did.
But this is like Harmony seeing, right? Like that Lorne is directly addressing with at least a small measure of respect the person that works for him.
But you can't expect Lorne and Angel to treat anyone the same way ever.
Yeah,
I understand. Yeah, it's just, this is obviously like Harmony does not know how to act in a corporate environment and sell herself or anything like that, but like supposedly none of them do, so like I think there should maybe be like a little bit of leeway. Gunn explains that he'll do most of the talking at this thing, because when they put the law on his brain,
it's time again.
They also put some demon languages in there.
because when he says, I'll do the talking, and Wes is like, you? Because, like, obviously Wes is probably expecting, I guess I'll have to figure out the language, I'll do it. And I'm just like, for the millionth time, no one is questioning the brain upload that apparently just put in the law until it also put in Gilbert and Sullivan. And now demon languages. Come on.
Yeah, there keeps being little asterisks and addendums to the shit that was put in his head. And no one, that doesn't bother anybody.
The closest is just Wes is you.
And then Harmony brings up her thing about the poodles, and it is met with absolute silence. And Wes says, oh, Harmony, I'm glad you're here. We're going to need lunch. And I was like, kind of that game, man.
That's all you do is just get lunch. Yeah, it's just all get I those did salads. For years. Just so many lunches.
And then, you know, you get someone lunch so good, they let you run the company, right?
Sure. That's what happened. I actually run a hedge fund right now because I got the turkey sandwiches that I got.
Mm-hmm. See, that was it. You did it. Who says you can't move up in business? In the employee lounge, I am referring to those two mean bitches as the Gossip Girls.
I mean, that's an insult to Gossip Girl.
No, never. I mean, I'll insult Dan Humphrey. I don't give a fuck. I'll insult Kate Keller on this podcast. I don't give a fuck.
Wow, I can't believe you said her name.
Cannot believe I said her name instead of blonde teacher, but I've done it to make a point. So the Gossip Girls are also saying, like, they're talking shit about Fred and all her boyfriends. They're like, she's always giving Knox the eye. And one of them's like, you know, Mr. Gunn's always looking at her.
Yeah, okay. So, yeah, they said Burkle's always giving Mr. Gunn the eye. I heard that used to be a thing. And then Alice said she and Knox are pretty friendly. And then, like, even the assistants don't think Wes is in the game. Ha, ha, ha. And then Harmony's the one who brings up Wes and how he's totally crushing on her. And everyone apparently thinks Wes is gay.
Yes, I saw that. That was clearly the end of that sentence. And I just, like, kind of hated that.
I missed it entirely. Mm-hmm.
Well, everyone knows Mr. Wyndham Price. Everyone knows he's muffins. And that's. But the thing that gets me, actually, is the agenda. I'm going on about the agenda again, because the way the show erases two seasons of feelings and relationship with Gunn and Fred, just like, and like Gunn and Fred is a throwaway joke in this episode, essentially.
Yeah.
Like,
I thought it was weird in this moment. Like, I was like, whatever. But then later when, like, Fred and Harmony are talking about it and she's like, oh, yeah, clearly it's those two. I'm like, wait, what? Like, what?
Yeah.
And that's all we get from her about her opinions on it, is that she acknowledges that those are the two men, like, pursuing her right
now.
And I've talked about it already, but Brain Upload Gunn is supposedly the perfect guy for Fred based on all the bullshit they were spewing about the relationship before. It's like he's now her intellectual equal. Something they kept bringing up about Wes before in the past two seasons. And now there's nothing there. Like, the black character isn't seen as a real viable love interest. He's just a stopgap and, like, an obstacle to true love, is what I put in it. He's kind of like Robin Wood, basically. But it's, like, even worse because they had a relationship.
Yeah.
And then
I just
got, like, really sad because I'm going to be alone forever.
No! You'll have me forever.
Shut the fuck up, Morgan, in your happy relationship.
But I love you. Let me love you. As microwave guy comes in with his big gift basket full of muffins, they're from Lorne. And, like, the Gossip Girls are like, Lorne's totally grooming you. And I'm like,
in the good way, the for good success.
Way. Yes.
I had to put that in my notes. But also, he does call me Danny Man. I'm like, Lorne has pet names for literally everyone he has ever met.
Harmonica, and one of my favorites.
It's a great one.
I love Harmonica so much. And Harmony tries to be like, me too. Angel's grooming me too.
Also, like, Dan, unless he starts calling you pastries, he doesn't care about you.
Yeah, come on.
Also, and, let us not forget that the muffins were actually for Shaq, okay? I just feel
They're from Shaq, right? They're from Shaq to Lorne.
They're from Shaq to Lorne, right?
Yeah.
And Lorne's on a no-carb diet. Yeah, Shaq sent those muffins.
Oh, my God. I did not even realize it. And I watched this episode episode twice, which is very embarrassing. But did you guys know that I met Shaquille O'Neal when I was 9 years old? And
yes,
he shook
I knew this story. I've heard the story.
God. It was a great moment in my life.
I didn't know that.
He wore a black velour sleeveless tracksuit.
Oh, yeah, he did. My God.
It was phenomenal. Incredible. And I was so nervous that my right hand was full that I offered him my left to shake, and I just did this. And I came up to his hips. It was great. I've never been cooler to all of my fourth grade boy peers.
You've never been cooler to us right now.
Yeah, truly.
So Harmony trying to be like, Angel does that with me too, is immediately cut off by Angel calling her and screaming at her. And she's like trying to do the thing where
everyone hears
you're faking the other side of the conversation. She's like, oh, it's no trouble at all. I'll come over there. Baby girl.
No trouble at all. Enter Camel.
Yes. So in the lobby, the Camel
should be
has
happy
arrived.
There's no like Middle Eastern music that plays.
Honestly.
Fucking yes.
Honestly.
And that there's not suddenly like a yellow lens slapped over the camera.
Yes. That's the good stuff, baby.
She's so lucky. Harmony's so mad. She told the caterers that this was supposed to be here tomorrow, but she should have called to confirm. Camel meat's a delicacy to these demons. And Harmony thought it'd be a great way to kick off the summit because Angel, as the host, can cut off the hump and stuff a red-hot poker through its heart, and then everyone will tear it apart and eat it.
Who she actually should have told, and she used as the like liaison to get to Angel, is Wesley, because Wesley is the one who hired her specifically, and he figured it would be helpful. Like she Wes isn't that Wes actually isn't like the least is the least busy one here in this episode. Mm-hmm. She could have talked to him about this.
Yeah, but I mean, has Wes ever treated her with anything but like disdain? Like, I understand why she doesn't feel like she can talk to anyone.
To be fair, right, Wes treats everyone with disdain. I mean, he has a neck scar.
Yeah. Do you think he'd treat me with disdain if I asked nicely?
Treat me with disdain, baby.
Please.
I agree, though. I agree, like, that there's no reason that Harmony would ever think that anyone would listen to her. Mm-hmm. And not that the best decision is to then just, like, make a big decision without consulting anyone, but, like, I get the root of it, like, where, like, how it happened.
Yeah. So Harmony, like, Angel leaves, and, like, the caterer said no returns, but he's like, get the fuck out of here, and he yells at her, and she starts crying, and she says, I did everything right. This is what they eat. And then again, I felt like bursting into tears. I've had so many times in my life as an assistant where I have experienced versions of this interaction, and it sucks. I am probably overly on Harmony's side because of these things. While I understand objectively, you know, she has some cons. Fred, who she's talking to, makes a bunch of excuses for Angel, and Harmony's like, no, he hates me. And Fred's like, well, I don't hate you. And Harmony's like,
she doesn't
cool,
know her.
What are you doing after work?
Fred's like, I'm the one person who doesn't know you. Okay. I'm the one person you haven't betrayed to a fucking vampire cult.
And Harmony's like, how can I ruin this? Again, I can relate. So they go to a bar together. Harmony's, you know, commiserating.
It's like the Wolf of the Heart staff hangout bar.
This is like the local watering hole they go to, I guess.
Oh.
So Harmony's, you know, she's like, I can't quit. I've nowhere to go. I tried being independent evil, but I'm no good at it. Fred's like, well,
she's definitely drinking an apple teeny. Am I right?
She says later she's drinking a lemon drop. She blames the lemon drops for her blackout.
Brave
I thought the lemon drop was a shot.
Lemon drops. No.
It isn't. I thought it was a shot too, but I've also
I don't believe it is. No.
Yeah, what's in a lemon drop, gang?
Yeah, look it up.
I believe it's
look
a cocktail.
Look it up.
Recipe.
Yeah, it's a cocktail.
Oh, it's like a martini.
Mm.
Oh yeah, so
a bunch
it's
of
a
lies
glass,
were told to me
sense.
At bars.
A
lot of sugar.
Yeah.
Were men telling you these lies?
Classic.
Always.
Classic men.
So, you know, Fred tries to make excuses for Angel. He's under a lot of pressure. And Harmony's like, I just wish I was like you, except for the whole being into science thing. and not and having, not a, lot
having
up front.
A lot up front.
That's a boob joke, y'all.
Oh, absolutely.
I screamed so loud at this. Mm-hmm. And she's like, you have two guys fighting over you. And this is where we talk about it. And, you know, Fred confirms that it is Knox and Wes that are vying for her affections. Boo. And she says, I don't know. We all work together and there's a lot of baggage.
She's like, two hot guys. And I'm like, I still think Knox looks like Greg Brady, and that's not a compliment.
Yeah.
I'll never get over Knox being Holden. I hate all versions of this guy.
Fair enough. Fred says she does think they're both hot. Like, she's like, they are both hot, right? And that's all we get from her about her thoughts on this. That's it.
Also, like, I know that the Harmony Fred dynamic doesn't have like long legs or whatever, but I love seeing Fred out hanging out. Like, yes. I was like, have we ever seen Fred just having a blast?
Well, no, I like this too. I put in my notes, it's like, because the thing is, she never had this with Cordy, because when she first got there, like, Fred had her own baggage. She wasn't having gal pal time.
Yeah.
And then, like, by the time she probably would have been, like, Cordy was either, like,
with Gru,
denying her feelings for Angel, with Gru, or not herself. So. Yeah. They didn't have a chance to have, like, a relationship like this.
Yeah, like, the only time they do anything, like, remotely girly together is when they go, I think it was, like, when they go dress shopping.
Yeah, they get the dress shopping for the ballet, yeah.
And, like, I love that scene. And Cordelia is terrible in that scene. She is, like, and I mean terrible at, like,
yes,
reading the
perception.
Room. Perception. Yeah. Because she's like, I get it. You're
the
in love
iron's
with
definitely
West.
Hot.
Wink, wink, wink. And Fred is saying, I love Charles Gunn. And Cordelia is being like, so Wes is who you want. Okay.
And that's why they were not gal
Cordelia,
pals, because that was how
you.
That went down.
I miss her.
Oh, I miss her so much. That made me miss her, like, deeply in my soul.
Harmony definitely is more perceptive than Cordelia was in that situation.
Yeah, and it's just, I think that they did such a, it's such a better job, like, threading the needle on the way that, like, Cordelia not being able to tell this, like, to not communicating with Fred and having that, like, miscommunication with her and making that wrong assumption. Like, that is her being kind of a dick and just, like, assuming a thing. And yet I'm not mad at her. Like, this show used to be able to thread the needle on people acting, like, I hate saying likable, because I think that's, like, bullshit. Because I, you know, who are you? Who's anyone to tell me who I can like and who I can't like? But, like, I don't know, just without, like, making me hate them, which I don't hate Team Angel. They're my friends. But I do miss them. So that's pretty much all we get about the love triangle from the two of them. Harmony says, we're like gal pals. And I'm like, okay. She says, you can teach me about life and I can teach you how to dress better.
And I was like, here's the thing, Harmony. I don't think you dress well.
No, yeah.
It is 2004, you know.
No, Cordelia Chase, she dressed well. Harmony Kendall does not dress well.
Fair.
Yeah,
fair.
I'm not
although
sure.
Cordelia, yeah. Mm. Let's not go down the Cordelia wardrobe.
the wardrobe wasn't the problem. The hair was the problem.
In terms of the hierarchy of problems, yeah. So Harmony admits that she has struggled to connect to people once she became a vampire. And Fred's like, well, you should, like, put yourself out of here. You should put
yourself out of here. Get the fuck out.
Get out of here. You should put yourself out there. Mingle with the Wolfram and Hart employees. And Harmony's like, well, I kind of, like, gravitate towards the undead. And Fred's like, well, that's why you don't have any friends.
Well, yeah.
I love calling non-vamps straight. Fantastic.
Two things. Fred realizing that Harmony has no friends. This is where I, like, noted, you know, Harmony, you're just getting back what you put out into the world in high school. Like, these are the type of people she would have bullied in high school. And they realize that. And they are throwing it back at her in the real world. Because, honestly, I mean...
Oh,
we all kind of wish we could do that, right?
No, absolutely. I'm not, you know, if wanted to try to be nice to me in a corporate environment, I'd slap the shit out of her. And you're gonna bleep that.
Oh yeah. The number of people who like wouldn't talk to me in high school, who when I moved to LA were like, "Oh, LaToya, I hear you're in LA. Mm. You know, you're working on a TV show?" Oh. Yeah.
Yeah, fuck that shit.
Yeah, I am. I'm going to go back to talk to you. But the second thing is, what was the second thing? What was the second thing? Oh yes, the straight people and like that and the right biter, like Harmony's just making up concepts. These aren't like actual terms that vampires use.
This is how
she makes her little brain work to understand the world in which she lives. She just makes things up. And I do think it's hilarious.
I make my little brain work.
Oh, I know how you make your little brain work. You've dragged my little brain back into the mud because of you. I had a big brain before I met you.
Sorry. So it turns out there's a guy at the bar looking at Harmony, and Harmony's like, "I can't go over there. I'm here with my friend." And Fred's like, "Oh, no, you can." And Harmony's like, "Cool," and leaves. Very fun. Harmony talks to the dude. She, per Fred's advice, does ask him some questions about himself, but she cuts him off in the middle of all of his answers to ask more questions. It's very bad.
It's very
Cordelia
funny.
Cordelia definitely also winning the flirting game in this instance.
Yeah.
I don't know. If you get Cordelia's fake laugh in there, it might not help.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch. And organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/realm.
Anna Sheridan, missing for nearly 6 months now.
I need you. Find me.
The Sheridan Tapes, a serialized horror mystery podcast. Stream the complete series today on Realm and on all podcasting platforms.
So this scene ends with him getting her a drink because she looks thirsty.
He's just like, "You're hot. You're dumb and hot." Honestly. Okay, later she says he said he was an astronaut. I don't buy that. I think he might have told her what his deal was, and she just thought astronaut. Because he had to have known he was at the Wolfram and Hart bar. So, like, it would be people who, like, know, like, the deal.
Maybe he was just like, "She's very stupid. She won't understand what I do. I should just tell her I'm an astronaut."
But or he probably told her, and she's just like, "That's an astronaut, right?"
He's
like,
"Astronaut, right?
Sure."
Yeah.
Maybe he just said, "I have a meeting at Wolfram and Hart," and she was like, "You're an astronaut?" Like, maybe the bar was loud.
Yeah, I like that.
I really, like, in my heart, I'm like, he did not say he was an astronaut. She just came to that conclusion.
He didn't seem like the type to say he was an astronaut, I will say. I agree.
He's a neutral third party in, like, you know, complex negotiations. That seems like someone who's got to have, you know, a solid moral center.
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, he's like, the only guy these Warren clans trusted. And I, like, yeah, he's a demon's right activist, right? Like, I feel like we just lost a soldier in the fight for good. That sucks.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. This was clearly like a pivotal person with the capacity to do a lot of good. So, Tamika, babe, no.
I know Harmony sucks, but like maybe not this guy.
Yeah. Maybe someone worse. So the next morning, Harmony wakes up next to that guy's dead body.
And she does realize his name starts with a T until she calls him George.
Mm-hmm. Whoops. So then she tries to throw the body down the garbage chute.
And I'm like, is her apartment hall the same set as the Hyperion, just redressed? Because I'm pretty sure probably.
Very much could be. She has another run-in with Mrs. Jacoby, who continues to stonewall her. You know, there's many body hiding hijinks ensue.
Which is... The thing that gets me is that she wasn't like, let me immediately get rid of this body. She's like, let me get ready for work and everything. And then, like, bring all my shit with me as I'm trying to get rid of this body.
Yeah, like, carrying your work bag as you carry the huge corpse.
And coffee cup.
Yes.
Yeah, me.
She puts him down the trash chute and he misses the dumpster completely.
It's very well done. So Harmony goes to work. She advises herself to act normal because now we are entering the part of the episode where it's just going to be a lot of Harmony speaking to herself.
I love, because here's the thing. You could do like an internal monologue, but there is no way that Harmony Kendall has an internal monologue.
It's external. Yeah.
That's like, is it Earshot where everyone is, you're hearing everyone's internal monologues on Buffy and Cordelia's internal monologue is just exactly what she says.
Yep.
Yes. An angel.
Harmony's is nothing. Yeah. It's nothing. Just the wind blowing.
Sweet Harmony. No, she's making up crazy wild shit in her head all the time.
She's saying like it out loud.
Yeah. See, I feel like it's like the one song that's been stuck in her head for the past 7 years on a loop. Like, that's all you'd hear if you listened to it. And I'm sure it's a great tune. So she sees Rudy's testing blood. She, you know, gets a little anxious. Angel shows up. He's wondering where his blood is. He's not happy. He's like, I can't afford to have anything go wrong today. And she's like, aye, aye, bye.
And this is what, of course, Angel's mad because he thinks she's insane. She's doing desk crunches.
And she like came late. Like,
I thought that was a quick lie.
For her,
nice
yeah.
Work. Quick on your feet, Harmony.
For Harmony, so a pretty good quick lie.
For her, sure.
Yeah. So she goes to the lounge. She microwaves Angel's blood. She takes out, you know, microwave boy Danny's stuff. And she's trying to figure out what happened last night. She doesn't remember taking him home. Damn those lemon drops. And then she goes, wait, this is Fred's fault. Great. She glugs a bunch of blood out of her unicorn thermos,
which
she's stress
I love
eating.
The subtitles on Hulu say moaning pleasurably when she's doing this.
This is like herbal essences for vampires, you know.
Yes. Everyone's just staring at her.
Yeah, she like tries to turn around at one point to like do it somewhat alone.
Private.
And then does more moaning pleasurably.
I was like, baby, I'm so sorry. Angel
so
calls her
it's
again.
Human blood in
like,
there.
Mm-hmm, it is human blood. So then in the lobby, Harmony is talking to the caterers. She's like, chips and dip, that's what I'm ordering. And they're trying to offer her other stuff. And she's like, no, we're sticking with the chips and dip. You know, she's stomping out all her creativity. She notices as someone's walking by how tasty their neck looks. Uh-oh.
Mm-hmm.
She gets a call
and she
Angel.
Is looking at their left side, so that even before she realizes.
Wow. Oh, classic. Well, she's nice. You know, I mean,
also this is a gay moment. This is a hot lady.
Yeah, she's going to chow down on her.
I'm not going to pay her for my fuck watch, but she's up there, you know what I mean?
Oh, yes, that was a beautiful woman. So she gets a call from Detective Griffin from the LAPD for Angel and listens in on the call. And it is about an abandoned body found at the dump. Unfortunately, she does not mute herself on the phone. So Angel can just like hear her.
Yeah. Also, they own the dump, apparently.
Yeah. Oh, I thought it was that they own the LAPD.
The LAPD, me too.
Oh, there probably is what it is then.
Yeah, because like it was like, we own them. And then like both Gunn and Wes are like, yeah, I'm not surprised by that. I was like, yeah, fuck the cops, right?
Meanwhile, Kate Lockley is drinking another bottle of vodka.
Oh, Kate. I hope you take up journaling or something.
Imagine Kate hanging out with Harmony. That would be a scene I'd love to see.
Oh, God. Maybe Harmony would eat her.
Kate, at this point, I believe, is getting written off of Law and Order, and she's asking, is this because I'm a lesbian? I believe we're at that era in television right now.
Woof.
She gets fired. Final line is it because I'm a lesbian? They had never implied that her character was a lesbian until that very moment.
Oh,
and that is how the episode ends.
God.
Representation
2004.
Matters.
What a year. Oh, Jesus.
I'm gonna just check that it was 2004. Because it feels like it is
hysterical to fire your gay character and then be like, and by the way, this person we're doing something bad to has a marginalized
identity. It was 2005. There was one more like year. It was like January 13th, 2005. Literally a year after this episode aired.
Wow. All right, you're on borrowed time, lady. Harmony's freaking out. Gunn and Wes are showing up. Angel tells them, you know, they found the body at the dump. And it was the negotiator, Toby Dupree, to which Harmony goes, Toby.
That was his name.
Baby. He had Angel's card on him. So that's why the cops called him. And she goes, but he was an astronaut.
There's no way he told her he was an astronaut. I can feel that in my soul.
Yeah. It was assumed, yeah. In Angel's office, the clans are on the phone. They're freaking out. They're unhappy. They want the killer found and punished. Angel tries to speak some of the demon language.
I laugh so hard. I wrote my notes, LOL, shut up, Angel. He just starts yelling, some clicking, and I'm like, no.
I love that all the demons want to call Angel Whore Man. All of them continue calling him Whore Man in the subtitled language over and over again. And every time it made me laugh.
I mean, like, a common enemy is a, what's that phrase? If you share an enemy, you are.
The enemy of my enemy is my friend.
Exactly. The enemy of my enemy is a whore man.
Yeah. Is a whore man. The term whore man, like, it has real Charlie Kelly energy, like, because Dennis is bastard man, like, it's that kind of, and that's what I really like about it. So the gang's like, we gotta figure out who killed Dupree, and they're like, well, the body's in Fred's lab, and she'll be able to figure out who it is in no time.
So Harmony runs straight to the lab.
So
good thing they don't think of her as a person, because, like, she could just bail.
Yeah, that's always handy. taking advantage of that a time or two myself.
All of a sudden, it's just me and LaToya. Morgan's gone. We're like, what?
You'll never notice. So in Fred's lab, Fred's doing the autopsy.
Yeah, Fred's doing coroner shit because, you know, she's a physicist.
Yeah, she's a physicist. She can do medical examiner's work.
They're like, oh, Elijah, you're going to do a show called True Calling? We got a true calling right here.
So Fred thinks that, like, Harmony's here to, like, spy for Angel and be, like, checking up on her. And Harmony's like, yep, that's what I'm doing.
You know our Angel.
Mm-hmm.
Harmony suggests whoever did it blacked out and it's totally not their fault. And Fred's like, sure. And then Fred's like,
yeah.
Last night was fun and she wants to do it again, you know, drink and listen to the chicks. I think Fred's actually hitting on Harmony.
I agree.
That's gay. Fred is gay.
Speaking of gay, I am obsessed with the joke in this where Fred is like, the bite is here. The size and depth of it, like, implies that this is a female vampire. And Harmony just goes, or gay.
Yeah, I was like, I just wrote my notes. Very funny.
Yeah, that one got me.
Really.
In her mind, that's like her making all the terminology. Like, this is how her mind works.
Yep,
this is smart.
Fred's like, that's not
how it works. But Fred does want to ask about the guy at the bar, and Harmony's like, he's a loser. He told me he was an astronaut. And Fred goes, like anyone would believe that. Grim. Then in the hall, Harmony resolves she's going to start over again in Mexico. She's going to start going by Harmonita. That's kind of pretty.
Wow, it's like really hit me again. I was going to say, Crash and Fane write this episode well, like all the moments where it seems like people are going to onto Harmony, and like she thinks she's been found out, when clearly they're not onto her at all, but Harmony's like, every time. And yeah, and she's like, maybe I'll go to Mexico. Yeah, like leaving the country. I'm like, I'm so happy she knows that Mexico's a different country. Or then she says, or Cancun.
Or Cancun.
I was so proud of her for a second.
For one second.
Mexico and Cancun are separate. We all know this.
Very bad.
Harmony.
So then she realizes. And then she,
yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, oh, no. We'll talk you about.
No, we're saying literally the same thing. And then she realizes.
Oh, okay. And then she realizes this guy was bitten on the right. She's a right biter, which means that she'd bite on the left. She kisses Rudy because she's so chaos. Happy. And he tests her blood and it's positive for human stuff.
Whoops.
So
I
what
love
does
this
do?
Shit. I love this closet pile up. This joke gets this is... me. I'm here for it.
Good.
Okay, there was a little negativity up top of this episode, but I feel like we're all loving this episode.
I am having a good time. She knocks this guy out, hides him in the closet. She hears Lorne, who's like coming around the corner on his phone. He's worried about like some missing gift bags. And Harmony asks Lorne,
missing gift bags, did Danny just steal the muffins then?
Who knows?
Is that actually what happened?
Perhaps. Harmony's like, where do those like blood test results go? Like, where do they, what happens to them? And Lorne's like, the lab? And then he hears a little groan of pain and is like, what's that? And we cut, we don't even see Harmony punch him. We truly just cut to her shoving his limp body into the closet.
And it was at this moment she must have learned to do duct tape. That way.
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
See, she's getting better at it.
Yeah, when she's duct taping Fred, I'm like, oh, she picked up something on the way. Yeah.
Gotta get a, you know, fool her once. Then in Fred's lab, Harmony shows up and yells, it's not what you think. Like, I don't remember what happened, and someone drugged me, and, you know, I was at the bar, and I woke up, and he was there. And Fred is horrified to find out that this is the man from last night.
Yeah, because first she's like, I accidentally had blood, because obviously Fred knows, he saw the result. And Fred's even like, maybe it was consensual. Like, you know, you're little freaks who like that shit.
Yeah.
You know, it was Riley Finn.
Yeah, where's Riley?
Riley's
but
in
then
town. It's so weird.
Harvey makes clear it was the guy.
Yeah.
The guy you made me talk to.
Yeah, because this is all Fred's fault.
Yeah, we all know this.
And Harmony is like, well, it couldn't have been me because of the right biter thing. And she, to prove this to Fred, she keeps just lunging at her throat repeatedly, being like, see, I do it on this side.
I remember watching this episode live, and like the right biter thing is something that has stuck with me for so long. Like, she's just making up terms.
Good stuff.
Oh, it's like which side do you play your guitar on, you know? It's like, the right biter.
Which side do you bite on? So Harmony, you know, thinks someone spiked her thermos, perhaps because of the summit. Someone wants to ruin it.
She's almost there. She's almost there.
She's close. And Fred grabs the phone so they can, like, call Angel and tell him about it. And she says he can help. And Harmony says, he's not a helper. He's a chopper. He'll cut my head off. Fair enough.
She's Harmony. Seen it. She's just saw it, you know?
Yeah, this is where I was like in my notes. He wouldn't actually, again, because of Cordelia. That's like the thing that's like keeping her around.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Cordelia might be, you know, in a coma and not around, but like Angel's not going to do anything that would possibly, you know, make her like want to slap him around if he wakes up.
No, he's still afraid of her, even in her coma. So, like, Harmony is really proud of herself. She's been clean for 8 months. Like, that's not nothing. And Fred starts dialing Angel, and we cut to her limp body being shoved into the closet.
To the closet you go.
The comic timing that they get where we all look at Fred, we all look at Harmony, and we all know exactly what's about to happen. Incredible. Good work.
Harmony looks down at the writhing bodies of the people that she has imprisoned in the janitor's closet, and she says,
I'm totally sorry I have to do this, and you guys are being super understanding. It's just till I clear my name. I so owe you guys dinner.
Baby girl, I would like to see this dinner. Where is she taking them?
Cute.
Yeah, because she's like, I can't afford to take you all like to individual dinners, but like a group dinner, and then we can also like split. Yeah. They're still gonna have to pay for this dinner.
Yeah, I'm sure everyone's having to pay a little. You know,
it's like the four of them and the camel. They're all at dinner together.
Oh wait, if she could just slaughter the camel, and that could count as a dinner. There were no returns, so
show me where the camel went. I need to know.
I would like to see. So then in the Wolf from Nard hallway, she's talking herself through her plan, which is to get the thermos and check it for fingerprints.
This girl does not know how to check anything for fingerprints. What did she think she was going to do? Get Fred from the closet still tied up?
Yeah, with what equipment?
Where's Knox?
Don't ask for Knox.
If Knox is not on screen, we should not be asking, where's Knox?
Yeah, it's the opposite.
If it means my baby girl Harmony will be all right, then I'll take Knox.
Wow, you would sell your soul for that?
To Greg Brady.
Greg Brady ass.
When's your voice gonna change? So then in the Wolfram and Hart lobby, the summit is not going well. They would like, because they weren't able to find whoever killed this guy, they would like a blood sacrifice from someone at Wolfram and Hart. Angel calls for Harmony, and she's like certain that she's going to have to be the sacrifice, but he just wants to talk to Fred. And she's like, oh yeah, I'm on it. Then in the employee lounge, Harmony sees Microwave Guy with her thermos, and she screams at him, admit it! You know, like, you did this to me. He did not do this.
Business plan for Wolfram and Hart, instead of killing the Elis, keep them somewhere, because it's not uncommon for people to call for a blood sacrifice. So you might as well keep some on hand. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Oh, keep them in the P-Vein prison area, like this is the Flash?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Give them no toilet.
In the toiletless prisons from The Flash.
Perfect. They do have toilets. They revealed that many seasons in.
I don't believe it.
He pushed a little button and the toilet appeared.
That's propaganda.
Because Barry ended up in the little prison, I believe. If I remember correctly, he was in the little Flash prison. And he pushed the button to let everyone know
have been toilets there. I don't know. I didn't see this shit. I don't believe it. she's like, confess! And then this man is hit over the head with a vase. And wait, is that hot lady Harmony spilled coffee on? It is. And she is here, and she's going to pin everything. Like, she's like, I just did that so I can pin it on you later. And Harmony's like, you! Who are you? Yeah. Which is a great joke.
That's a great joke. I don't like the one where she calls her Sambuca because, Sambuca. LOL, black names are funny.
Mm-hmm. The worst.
I don't like that one.
No, it's not
good. It's not good.
Knowing her makes sense because we don't even know who she is.
Yeah, that's allowed. Like, but this sucks. Yeah, she calls her Sambuca. Her name is Tamika. She was like, I was in the fucking steno pool with you. I sat next to you. I was passed over for Angel's desk. And Tamika says, Harmony is in the in crowd. She's in all the right meetings. She's going places. And now Tamika will report Harmony to Mr. Angel and steal her job.
Good plan.
Yeah. And Harmony's like, I think I have an advantage. And she vamp faces out.
Yeah.
Tamika's fucking vampire too.
You don't? She's like, I should have smelled you. And like, this, she thought that all of them were straight, as she said. And I'm like, our girl has no gaydar.
No gaydar whatsoever.
Because if you're a vampire, obviously you're gay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, all vampires.
We know
are
this.
Gay.
This is fact.
1,000%.
Okay, let me list some off. Angel, yes. Spike, yes.
Yes.
Literally gay for each other.
Darla, literally. Yes. Drusilla, Darla, yes. Yes.
Drusilla, yes.
May I posit the fact that I think that Angel and Spike also fucked at the end of last episode? Because that's what I think it happened. Based on their exchange about Buffy, I was like, oh, y'all worked something out. Like, you figured it out, you know?
Post Mountain Dew drinking.
Yeah, yeah. Post they actually they red. Were they didn't even know what they were doing.
They're so popped up on Mountain Dew. Look, Mountain Dew can make you do crazy things. We all know.
The Mountain Dew defense in court.
It can.
Oh my god.
Tamika explains that she roofied Harmony and broke into her apartment and ate this dude herself.
I think it's hilarious is that, like, so she hadn't, like, planned to do this. It was just, like, at the bar.
Yeah.
Here's the thing I thought was interesting at the bar. It's like, obviously, these people all hate Harmony, but she's literally at the bar you all hang out with Fred, one of these, like, insiders that you all are obsessed with. The fact that no one's trying to suck up to her at this point, like, Tamika at least makes sense. She got, like, so angry seeing this that that's when she had her plan. I guess she just had roofies on hand.
Yeah.
You know?
Okay.
Tamika is prepared for all scenarios.
I'd remember.
She does
her
deserve
name.
A promotion.
She does.
At Wolfram and Roofies Hart, for sure.
Roofies on hand. She's got everything on hand.
So this is the point in the fight where they break out the chopsticks, which I is will funny say, to have them like they need the fight something is, wooden to kill each other.
Like, the fight is good.
It
it's
is.
Just the pan flute of Asian-ness
yes,
appears.
The pan flute joins the score.
It's
at this moment.
The oriental pan flute is what it is. Like,
yeah, and it is it's not great to hear.
And they stylize the moves too. Like, they slowly pull apart the chopsticks at the pan flute.
And it's like, we
like
do know
two
that,
seconds
like,
after making a Sambuca Tamika joke. It's just like, it was like stacks on stacks. In
we know, like, the vamps all have martial arts skills, and finally we actually see Harmony have them. And you can do that without having to do the pan flute. That's the thing. You could do that with, like, the posing with a pan flute.
I don't know.
TV's
how
never.
How would I understand?
I wouldn't know what was happening.
Television has taught me you can't, but, like, I think it's possible.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'd be
after
so
after this,
confused.
I'm going to go into my kitchen and break apart a pair of chopsticks, and I'll tell you what happened.
See but, what happens.
Jesus Christ.
All of a sudden, doo-doo. Yeah.
Fuck.
Me yelling, me in the cut where there's no pan flute, yelling, what country did all of this originate from? I don't understand.
What general vicinity? Why isn't the screen yellow?
So great. So thank you everyone involved. So then in the Wolfram and Hart hallway, Harmony is trying to lead Tamika down the hall in a headlock.
It's so good. I kind of wish you could have just, like, headlocked her all the way over.
I do too. But Tamika breaks free. In the summit, we see it's not going well. Yeah. They're yelling that the whore man has failed.
Whore man.
I do love, though, when Harmony's like, you're going to tell him everything. It's like, and Tamika's like, my lips sealed. The key lost it.
Good for Tamika.
I love to see the Tamika Buffy banter. You know, I think they really go toe to toe with their witty banter.
Mid-fight.
This is what
been
we've
nice.
Been missing. She should have fed fucking playing Eve. Jesus.
Yeah.
Oh.
She's a better choice for Eve.
Oh 100%. My God. She would have been a fucking fantastic Eve. Fuck.
Yeah. Oh, Eve. Hey, Eve's not in this one. We don't have to talk about Eve. It's a reprieve.
We're like, not Eve, Justine?
Eve. Okay. Well, I'll talk about Justine all day long. That's a gift.
All day.
All day? The whore man has failed. They demand a sacrifice. Harmony busts through the window with Tamika and kills her on the table. She meant to wait before she did that, but
I didn't mean to do
away.
That yet.
Baby. And Angel is like looking at her disapprovingly, even though that was helpful. Obviously, she had no way of knowing that it would be helpful, but come on, man. Then in Angel's office, all of the people from the closet are there and they are holding ice packs up to their heads. That detail, cute. Angel says, "You could have just come to me," to which I write in my notes in all caps, "Honey, you are unapproachable." Mm. Harmony apologizes. She had a good reason for what she did. And she says, "I was scared. And it's not like I have a soul. I have to try a lot harder."
Also, like, Fred's like, "I was telling her that she should come to you." Like, Fred could have helped. She was being a snitch, but Fred could have helped in the mediation process.
She really could have. Gunn comes in. It turns out the summit's going great now. You know, post-sacrifice. Everyone's feeling happy. Harmony will be clean off the human blood in 2 days. And she's like, "But I assume I'm fired and that I should pack up my desk." And Angel... the greatest kindness he can afford her is just to ask for some coffee, proving that she is not, in fact, fired. Then Yay. At the bar that night, yeah, I'm like, oh, I'm like, in a way, don't you want to be fired? Like, this job's not good for your mental health, babe.
Yeah.
What is great. Good for her mental health?
I don't know.
Why does she need a job? Why do vampires need jobs?
Well, I mean, we saw Spike is a bum who wanted to borrow like a few hundred bucks from Angel because he doesn't have a job. Mm-hmm. Like, you need a job to live in the capitalistic society.
I guess the reason she needs a job is
they don't have compulsion like Vampire Diaries. They have to like
Spike
live.
Isn't killing people and mm-hmm. Harmony isn't killing. Because if you're killing people, then you just take their money. You're fine.
Yeah, she said she didn't like being all out on her own. Like, she wants the structure right. and the protection. Of a job like this.
She knows she sucked at being evil. I don't know if you remember that, but she sucked at being evil.
Oh, she and was like pretty bad at it.
And being like, you know, head of her own gang and everything. She can't, no.
No.
And as we know, obviously as an assistant, she's not great. As a follower in someone else's gang, she would be terrible.
Mm-hmm. This is an improvement. So far, mm-hmm. of all the jobs we've seen her do, this is the one she's best at.
She's making a great effort, you know? Yeah. She has Be Better on her mirror. She sees it every morning.
Yeah, I love her. I do too. So Harmony's talking to the bartender. She's telling him about her whole day. And
She says she killed the skank who framed her. I was like, we don't need all that.
Yeah, excuse me.
And then she was like, all I got was get me some coffee. I'm like, this is the lack of soul. She's just be grateful that she still has a job and got off scot-free completely.
Yeah,
she really should, but she has, yeah. And now that the bartender is here, mm-hmm. it's time to fuck.
Oh.
Fuckwatch. Thank God. Oh, good. That's great. Because I'm going to fuck right at this bar. On this bar. I'm going fucking? Toby, kids.
Oh, you really did take to Toby, didn't you?
That's lovely.
What is this about Toby that really spoke to you, Kristen?
You know, he's cute. He's like here to help demons like live their best lives. I feel like he's a sensitive soul and he's attractive. And I think he'd be good on the bar.
Fair enough.
Morgan?
He'll take you to the moon.
Allegedly.
Oh, God.
I'm fucking Harmony. I will hopefully make her a better person through my lovemaking. I hope that I
Nobody
can help her.
Nobody said anything about lovemaking, Morgan.
Well, I'm saying something about it. What I'm going to be doing.
Ew.
If you could throw down on the bar, I can do something tender.
It's true. Let me not yuck anyone's yum, you know?
I'll yuck it.
I know you. LaToya, who are you fucking?
Obviously, I was saying that Angel was looking right, but I can't choose him. It's Tamika.
Hell yeah.
Like, come on. Come on now.
Beautiful.
Wow. We are literally fucking the triangle of deceit and murder. Like, all mm-hmm. we got all three in mm-hmm. play. And you know what? Nothing bad would have happened if we were just all fucking our respective people. Then none of this would have happened.
We could have saved everyone a lot of heartache. Mm-hmm. So Spike shows up. And Harmony is like, well, what happened to Europe? And Spike was on his way. He had a boat ticket.
Yeah. How do we feel about the writing through hoops we have to do to explain Spike sticking around?
Ridiculous.
It's
ridiculous.
Terrible.
Absolutely ridiculous.
Like, just have him say, I signed a contract on Angel the TV show. Like,
what does he say? He said if he showed up now, the grand finale won't hold much weight. All of it won't matter. And I'm like, you mean like showing up in season 5 of Angel?
Yeah.
Literally. And also, like, I'm sorry, you fucking are in love with somebody and you that's what your concern is?
But also, she's not in love with him. She said that in that grand finale. She didn't say it, but he acknowledged that, like, he knows she doesn't love him in that grand finale. So, like, the whole, I'm gonna go see Buffy, like, in general, that whole point is, like, why? She said, I love you, but you were like, no, you don't, but thank you. Like, that's the end.
Yeah. That, and wouldn't that be better writing for the fucking, like, if he, like, started to go and then realized, like, what am I doing? I'm not, like.
It's a lot of him just talking, you know, just trying to make it sound like it makes sense. It makes no sense.
Well,
it's
so
bad.
Why do you take a boat?
Well, he has to take a boat because he has to be out of the sunlight. He has to be, like, in the cargo in, like, a box or whatever.
He can't just bring a tiny little can of black paint and paint it over the airplane window? No?
I think that would not be well. I don't think anyone in an airport would like that.
I don't think that would go well.
Actually, it is 2004. No more. Anything on airports.
Yeah, maybe 9/11. The year 1999.
You could have painted an airplane window black for sure.
You could do whatever you wanted on those fucking things. But you know, Harmony doesn't believe it. She's like, one look at you and she'll forget herself. She'll get all tingly and forget how you took her for granted. And Spike realizes Harmony is talking about herself with him. And he's like, but I just think that, like, Buffy'd be happy to see me, but my sacrifice won't matter if I show up now. To which Harmony says,
like on Angel season 5.
Yeah. Like, I know what it's like not to matter. And Spike, this is the one kindness Spike can do for her, and it is pretty slight, which is to say, come on, you matter to someone. What about that girl who tried to frame you? You matter to her. And Harmony goes, yeah, she hated me. I matter.
She learns fucking nothing.
God. This is a great side. Give me a side-by-side of this moment for Harmony and the moment when the lady in the wall calls Cordelia a bitch and she's like, I am a bitch.
Yeah.
Gets her power back.
Yeah, look, we support women's rights, but also women's wrongs, you know?
Yeah, 1,000%.
Well, quite an app. LaToya... I know it's been a long day for Harmony. Is your WB recommendation for her or for Team Angel?
Ooh. I think it's for all of us.
It's for everyone. Oh, all right.
Everybody.
Then
people all over the world.
Bitch.
Watch WB. Sorry, Love Train. Love Train. I apologize. This is not going to be a really fun WB corner. It's just, I'm going to, obviously, because no one has any media literacy these days, people are calling standalone episodes bottle episodes. Bottle episodes are their own thing. That's a separate thing. I'm not recommending a bottle episode. I am recommending, they're not even technically standalone episodes because, you know, It's the way TV is, because people also say filler episodes, and I'm just like, shoot me in the head. But my answers are Buffy season 3, episode 13, and Angel season 2, episode 6, The Zeppo, and Guys Will Be Guys. I've recommended Guys Will Be Guys again, but like with an episode like this, it makes the trifecta. So there. And I don't know, just and watch those. Also learn about TV. I don't know. I'm mad at the world right now.
Yeah. Media literacy is at an all-time low, and I do not know how we're turning out of that tailspin, but maybe we'll all figure it out, guys.
The answer is definitely not more TikTok, that's for sure.
Well, TikToks. That's WB. Gang, any thoughts on this one before we close it on out and do plugs? I you convinced me that I liked it more than I thought I did. I had a fun time.
It's a fun episode. I have a lot of Harmony feelings. I mean, I know, like, I feel like we talked a lot about Harmony as, like, I mean, she was very shitty to people in high school, but, like, in thinking back to the Harmony to Cordelia math equation, it's like Harmony, like, Cordelia was the one that was really leading the charge, and a lot of her little Cordettes were the most insecure kids in high school that...
Till Cordelia did Xander, and then Harmony was like, I'm going to be a little C word about this.
Yeah.
And by that, she meant a Cordelia about it. She became school's new Cordelia.
That's actually what everyone means when they say the C word.
Yeah. It's true.
But I don't know. I just, I find Harmony to be a very interesting character. Clearly, Cordelia is my heart. But, like, the insecurity that Harmony began with, the, like, vamp journey, the fact that she doesn't have a soul and she doesn't kill anybody. Like, she's bad at evil. But I don't know. I just have a lot of space for her in my heart.
Yeah, the popular girl second lieutenant is a character archetype that is so close to my heart. Like, Harmony... a Gretchen Wieners.
Yeah.
I just, there's something I love about, there is a sadness and a desperation, you're right, that comes with the evils that these women do, because it's usually all to please, you know, who they see as the number one. And that doesn't, like, make all of the shitty stuff they did go away because they felt sad while they were doing it about another thing. But I am obsessed with those relationships and how tangled and weird and often gay they are. So Harmony, we love you.
And also, everyone, treat your fucking assistants better. Honest to fucking God.
Yeah. If you're a person who has an assistant and you're listening to this, give your assistant like buy them lunch today and be nice to them. Ask them if they want to leave a little early one of the days this week. You can make it work out.
I am thankful I've never been treated shittily in my time as assistant. I've done assistant gigs and I've been treated well, so.
Good. Congrats.
Good.
I'm sorry.
I hope that streak continues.
Yeah, I do too.
I was gonna say, may there be more experiences like that.
Yeah. Well, then in the meantime, you guys can follow this podcast on socials at Angel on Top Cast on both Twitter and Instagram. Can find us on angelontop.com for our Patreon. We have a lot of fun stuff there, including the Cole Turner cast, where LaToya and I are talking about the main character of Charmed, Cole Turner. Kristen Russo has been on an episode. Kristen, any thoughts on Cole Turner for the gang?
Would smooch him. Would
absolutely
smooch him. You get it.
10 out of 10 chest hair. If you would like to email us, you can do so at angelontoppodcast@gmail.com. please say something nice. You should rate and review us on Apple Podcasts, because we don't have that many reviews on Apple Podcasts, especially
Stars.
Yeah, if it's not 5 stars, that's not what I asked for, and you done the prompt incorrectly. Yes, please do that. And if you would like to follow me on social media, you can do so on Twitter or Instagram or whatever platform you so choose at Lorgan Mudich. Kristen, where can the people find you?
If you'd like to, you can find me at Kristen Nolene. My God, it's been a long time since I told people how to find that name. Mm-hmm. It's K-R-I-S-T-I-N-N-O-E-L-I-N-E. It's my middle name. It's not Kristen online.
I feel like there should be a jingle for that.
Yeah, well, you know, there just might be one.
Possibly.
And you can follow Buffer and Cast. We finished our run through Buffy the Vampire Slayer. We are probably by the time this airs, we'll be done with Yellowjackets season one rewatch, and we'll be just about to roll right into some aliens, perhaps. Learn more this March.
Ooh, interesting, interesting. LaToya, where can the people find you, and should they?
Twitter, LaFergs, don't be fucking weird. I'm finding myself having to, like, remove myself from conversations on Twitter. I didn't realize that was a thing you could do, and now that I know I can do it, I keep doing it.
Yep.
Nice.
And you can find both LaToya and I on the Vampire Diaries podcast. We just revamped our Patreon. We have a ton of new exciting benefits and tiers there if you would like to check it out. And finally, you are now leaving Wolfram and Hart. Sorry, we do not validate.
Anna Sheridan, New York Times bestselling author of Supernatural Horror. Missing for nearly 6 months now.
That's not possible. Is the compass broken? Or did I turn to the side?
Given the circumstances of her disappearance, someone with a more vivid imagination might decide she'd pierced the veil, so to speak.
Weak radio signal. 700 meters. Closing fast.
There's no place for ghost stories and close encounters in this investigation, or any other.
I need you to find me.
To save yourself.
Of course. What else would it be?
The Sheridan Tapes, a serialized horror mystery podcast. Stream the complete series today on Realm and on all podcasting platforms.